Rewards. We all like being rewarded. Dogs and animals like being rewarded for being obedient to commands they're given. They get a treat, get a snack if they're obedient. You know, maybe we reward kids for good report cards or doing chores. Used to do that. We get rewarded for monetary raises or promotions if we perform well at our jobs. Then we have kids and adults both. If they're on sport teams, if they have some success, they get rewarded with trophies or medals or rings nowadays, large rings. So they get rewarded. Now we have the Olympics going on, the competition and for gold and silver and bronze medals. Now, it only happens every 4 years, so there's not many opportunities. So they train for those medals to have a moment of being rewarded the highest award they can achieve in their sports. By the way, those Indiana connections are alive and well at the Olympics. Those from Indiana or with Indiana connections, if you look at total medal counts, and I'm sure it's changed by now, but at least a couple days ago, if you add up Indiana's total medals out of all the nations, they would have ranked 12th, just ahead of Canada. So a lot of success from Indiana people. You say, well, what are those medals actually worth? Well, they're worth a lot now that the precious medals are up quite a bit. Gold medals are worth $950. Silver medals are worth $486. Then a bronze medal has some bronze, has some copper and zinc and things in it. Unfortunately, it's only worth $13. So some of the countries pay their athletes based on if they win medals. Some don't. Some pay zero. Some pay as much as $200,000 for a gold medal. The United States pays as well, but they pay $37,500 for gold, $22,500 for silver, and $15,000 for bronze. But the worth is much more than the monetary value. It's the achievement that's being made one of the best in the world at your sport, and the recognition around the world that's the value in it. It's not necessarily the medal. Matthew 6, 19 through 24 says, "Do not store up treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's a key word. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, these medals won't last long. You know, they've already had complaints of the bronze medals already chipping and fading and turning collars. And, you know, what treasures do we strive to obtain? Which ones do we store up? Money, while very useful, in the end is just ink and paper. It's not going to last. Cars are nice, but they rust away over time. Except for Fords, they're made out of a little more aluminum. They dent easier, but they won't rust, but most cars will rust over time. Houses deteriorate if not taken care of. Basically, all material possessions will leave us one way or another. Some items might mean a lot to us, but they won't mean much, if anything, to someone else when we're gone. There may be some keepsakes to hang on to, but eventually, they'll all go away. The treasure to store up are those eternal treasures. Those things we do out of faith in Christ, the relationship we have with Jesus and the relationships we have with others, the positive influence and the difference we've made through God's leading in the lives of others, the leading of others to His grace and fellowship. Those are the treasures to store up. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 and 32. Says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God." And then Colossians 3, 23 and 24 also says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So everything we do should be understood that we're doing it for God. You know, eating, drinking, working, playing, talking. God should be a part of everything we do in daily life. Everything should point others to God. But we should do it with our heart, with all our heart. We'll receive much better than a medal, and our reward will be in receiving an inheritance from the Lord, an eternal inheritance. I want to give some examples today of the Olympics and things that happened and experiences that happened to us and how we react and how we share things. But I want to talk about three people from the Olympics. One of them is Sydney McLaughlin-Levrone, and she's a gold medalist in the 400-meter hurdles. Matter of fact, she was, I believe just yesterday, won one of the relay races where four of the girls run a lap. And if you didn't see it, if you go back and watch, she's the one who gets the handoff either second or third, and is about, by the time she gets done, is about half a lap ahead of everybody. So she's pretty fast. Matter of fact, she runs so fast that even though she runs the hurdles, she would have qualified for the 400-meter finals in the race without the hurdles. She would have been in the finals. So that's how fast Sydney McLaughlin-Levrone is. But she's also an outspoken Christian. You know, she's in Christian publications. She's been in interviews and things. She's a very outspoken Christian person. And she just has a spirit about her that shows who she is in the Lord. And she just set a world record time for her race. Yeah, this is the 400-meter, or the hurdles. She had just set a record, world record time for her race, actually breaking her own record. She actually has like 7 of the top 10 times ever done. But she just finished, she crossed the finish line, she saw she was the winner, and she probably made sure because she couldn't see anybody in her peripheral vision because she was that far ahead. But as you cross the line, generally the camera's on your face, and after just a moment, you know, we can see she realized she had won, and it kind of soaked in, and then you could clearly see her mouth the words, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." You know, and then during interviews that weren't edited, we know how they edited some interviews and take a lot out, but the ones that weren't, the true ones that showed everything, she gave glory to God and said that every time she's on the track, she wants to bring glory to God. The family, it's kind of funny, the family tried to give her a crown to wear, and I just don't believe she wanted to wear it. She went over, as they do when they win, and go over to the sidelines where friends and family are, and of course, they gave her the flag, of course, like they all do, and to drape around and take pictures and things and to show it. But they also tried to give her a tiara crown, and she pushed it back a couple times. They tried to put it on her head and took it back off a couple times, and they kept pushing it towards her. Finally, she took it in her hand, but she didn't put it on her head. She just took it and held it with the in her hand with the other end of the flag, and walked around with the flag and got pictures, and finally went back over there again, and once again, she handed them the crown back, and they grabbed it and kept trying to put it on her head, and finally it was, I think, getting a little awkward, so versus hurting somebody's feelings, she let them put it on her head, and they took a couple pictures with the crown on her head. Again, I think she would have rather it not been that way, but then, of course, on the internet, you know, the picture you see is the one with the crown on her head, but anyways, she knows what her race is about and who it's for, and God blesses her because of her faithfulness. You know, our experiences in the race, we have a race, it's called life, and through the race gives us opportunities to show our faith, and experiences we face each day allows us to testify of our dependence and our trust and our hope in Jesus. You know, all experiences will draw some response out of us. And we'll experience good, and we'll experience bad. But I pray our response is one that pleases God and lifts Him up in our life and the lives of others. Another gentleman I want to talk about is Noah Lyles. He's a 100-meter dash sprinter. Now, the race is important because it makes the winner known as the world's fastest man. Now, a lot of these runners, if you don't know, it's not a blanket statement, but a lot of 100-meter runners are kind of like wide receivers in the NFL. You know, we might use the word prima donna. They generally think pretty highly of themselves, and they're a bit arrogant, have a louder mouth than most, and sometimes it runs wild. But again, not throwing a blanket, but a lot of the ones in these specialties seem to be like that. And Noah kind of fits the mold. Well, Noah was in the 100-meter race, and he was very happy, and he actually won it. Won it literally by a hair. That's how close it was, photo finished. His torso was in front of the line before other torsos were, even though hands and feet and heads maybe were in front of the line. So literally won it by a hair. But he was happy and, you know, said he won the hard part because the 200-meter race he was in was going to be easier for him. And then there were comments on people of other sports, how they weren't the type of an athlete like he was, and just different things, you know, he was saying. So he had other people a little aggravated with him, but even from other sports. But anyways, you know, he's the 100-meter champion. He's fastest man in the world. So, well, then came the 200-meter race, the easy one, and Noah struggled. You know, he did win a bronze medal, but again, that's third place. That's not the winner. But this easier race wasn't so easy. Now, it was said he had tested for COVID a couple of days prior to the race. The interview later that day was a much different interview. You know, he was a much more humble man. He spoke much more softly and not with the edge that he was heard before. Now, it may have been the COVID, but I want to let you know, God will humble us in our walk if we kind of get out of bounds, so to speak. You know, Noah gave credit during that interview to God to getting him through the race. That wasn't heard in the prior race that he won. You know, a humble person is a much more appreciative person who understands the race and what it's for. You know, he commented he had won the bronze medal at the previous Olympics and had been upset and angry and disappointed. But this one he won bronze, and he could not have been happier to have a bronze medal. So God will humble us when necessary if we get out of line, we get too far, too full of self for his glory. Now, you know, again, we talked all things don't always go our way. You know, we prepare, we train. You know, we go through life, we're ready, but things happen. You know, in those times our faith is tested, and in those times our faith is critical to us and those around us. It has such a powerful impact to those who see how a Christian handles and behaves in all circumstances. I want to talk about Allison Gibson. Allison Gibson is a diver. If you don't know, again, divers accumulate scores of each of six dives, and then the final total added up to see where each finished in the competition. Well, she had hopes of doing very well, but then it happened on her second dive. Her feet hit the diving board while doing a flip in her routine. Well, needless to say, the flip didn't go well, the splash didn't go well, and you know, as you go into the water, you're supposed to just hear a little bloop without water splashing and things. Hers was just shy of a belly buster, as we used to call them. So, big splash, and she got out, got her scores, and she received a score of 0 points, which put her out of the running for the medal. And I want to go to some of her comments. You know, her comments was, obviously, today didn't go the way I wanted it to, but I think you can learn and grow from every experience. And I truly hope that the next generation of athletes recognize that even in the worst moments, you can keep fighting. You can walk courageously. You know, this was after she had lost, you know, but, you know, after that second dive, which was so disastrous, you know, she kept going. She kept fighting. She kept up the courage that, because she completed her final four dives of the competition, knowing they weren't going to get a medal, but she completed the assignment that she had. She said, I hit my heels and my feet on the board. I have cuts along the sides, and then I bruised my right heel pretty good, but I was determined to keep going. I know someone else who God planned to have a bruised heel, but was determined to go on. And that was Jesus, and he crushed the head of the enemy. He said, I will bruise your heel, he will crush your head. So God uses everyday things to remind us of what Christ did for us. This young lady had a bruised heel, but she was determined to keep going, and she finished it. You know, Allison also went on to say, we don't always understand things. We don't understand why God allows things or things happen to us. Especially if we're faithful or we think we're faithful, you know, Satan's going to be attacking all the time. Yeah, he wants us to fall. He wants us to fail. Well, Allison said, my faith has been challenged a lot, though this, and I don't understand through this, and I don't understand why God would let this happen to me as I have walked so faithfully with him over the past year. But I know his plans are greater than mine, and it is not my duty to understand them. She goes on, my heart and my body hurt, but I know that this competition does not and will not define me. If you have a moment when you feel like all is lost, don't give up. You are beautiful and wonderfully made. That's how God made each of us. She goes on to finish, even though my competition didn't go the way I wanted, and even though I feel the world is trying to tear me down piece by piece and leave me shattered, I will keep my chin up because I know that my value and worth come from God. You know, what or who is your reward? What is your reward? Is that reward reflected in our responses and the experiences of life we live? You know, this was Allison's time to shine and make a difference. You know, and she did. She may not have done it with a medal around her neck, but she did it in God's plans. She may not even know what she's done yet, but she has done an amazing thing. She has reaped a lot of reward. She has been faithful to God, not even understanding why the bad things happen to us sometimes, but it's for God's glory. And she glorified God through it. And that's a victory for her. Like I said, she doesn't understand and she may not even realize what she's done. But she's made a victory. Much more than the medal would have given her. Now we're going to have an invitation, but I want to finish off with a couple more verses here. You know, 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to you, me, but also to all who have longed for this his appearing. You know, we're all running a race. Life's a marathon, actually more like a steeplechase, I would say, more with the obstacles in front of us. You know, we run for a while, and then there's something we got to jump over, a hurdle, and then there's another one that you've got to jump over, and there's water on the other side. So there's always something going on. There's many obstacles in the way, but there's many victories along the way as well. And a crown of righteousness awaits us, and it's given by the one who can give it. He has the right to give that. We just have to keep the faith, and we need to finish strong. You know, runners have a final kick, they say, to reach the finish line. You know, they have that burst at the end, a final burst of energy that's drawn from their training and their workouts to continue to the finish line. Well, our life is the race we have been training for. And a crown awaits us when we take hold of the victory in Christ. You know, in 1 Corinthians 9:24-25 says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And finally, in James 1:12, said, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." You know, belief in Jesus Christ makes you a winner. You know, if you believe in Jesus Christ and his shed blood and what he did for you, you're a winner no matter what. But working hard and training hard and winning those daily battles all in the name of Christ, yeah, you'll get that crown that lasts forever. It'll never fade or tarnish because it's given by the one who gives you eternal life. So, but you have an inheritance. You have eternal life. You have righteousness. You get crowns. So run the race. Finish strong. Don't give up. And in all things, give God the glory. I want to finish up with Sydney McLaughlin, the Roan, again. Some of her comments at the end. Just to show you. And we looked at these three, and it's in the midst of good things and bad things and a combination of the two, you know, that's how we deal with it, how our faith brings it out, that we can, our rewards are going to be in heaven, and how we, the experiences help us and those around us. You know, she says, "I credit all that I do to God, regardless of what happens. He's going to get the praise every time I step on the track. I pray, let me be the vessel in which you're glorified. That's what I do, why I do what I do." And then people started talking to her also, like, "You need to tone it down. You need to just quit talking about that so much. You know, this Christian stuff, God stuff, religious stuff. You need to knock that off, because there's going to be endorsement deals, and you're probably going to lose those by talking about that." And, you know, she said, "But I mean," she said, "I don't live for the approval of people, so I don't have to worry about any of those things." And she said, "You know, even if I had an endorsement or I had it and they want to leave," she said, "I know that God will provide for me in the way he sees fit." You know, she says, "So I'm not going to compromise." This is her speaking. "So I'm not going to compromise the truth just to make people feel more comfortable. I know that when people do reject it, they're not rejecting me, but they're rejecting the truth. And that's why it's okay, and I don't take it personally." So she's going to be true to God. And she ends up, I want to read one of the last comments she made, says, "It never ceases to amaze me how powerful he," speaking of God, "how powerful he is to help those who trust him overcome the battles within. His word is sufficient, his promises hold true, and all the glory belongs to him. And at the end of the day, it is far beyond gold. Once again, I am immensely grateful to have had the opportunity to represent my country on the world's biggest stage. What a blessing." You know, our opportunity to represent Jesus. That's our opportunity today, each and every day in life. And at the end of the day, it's far beyond gold. What a blessing for us. And what a treasure he gives us. He gives us the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. He gives us an eternal home with him. Let's pray.